This is the KVNF News for Wednesday, August 28, 2013. I'm Marty Derlin. The Colorado Supreme Court ruled yesterday on the newest legal twist in the efforts to recall two Colorado senators. According to the Post, the court decided that voters participating in the recall elections for Senator John Morris and Angela Giron do not have to vote yes or no on the recall question in order to vote on a potential successor. The Post reports that the court ruled on a state provision that requires participants to vote in both parts of the election, and that violates the U.S. Constitution. Governor Hickenlooper had asked the court to quickly clarify the issue before the elections take place on September 10th. Senate President John Morse of Colorado Springs and Senator Angela Giron of Pueblo face separate recall elections in their districts on September 10th for supporting gun control legislation in the 2013 session. The Post says recall elections for two Democratic lawmakers has become a political soap opera with subplots, new characters, and daily developments. Tuesday, that included a $350,000 donation from New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg's group, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, supported the gun measures which passed the Democrat-controlled legislature and were signed into law by Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper. Bloomberg donated the money to Taxpayers for Responsible Democracy, which is fighting both recall efforts, according to the campaign finance reports filed Tuesday. Recall opponents were quick to point out that more than 17,000 individuals have donated to efforts supporting Morse and Giron. Officials with the Colorado Energy Office told lawmakers on Monday that they've moved ahead with recommendations to overhaul the office following an audit last year that found financial problems and mismanagement. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The audit said the office couldn't determine whether more than $200 million was spent effectively. It also said the energy office was mismanaged on every level, failing to have goals or follow up on contracts to make sure projects were done.
Those questions really helped us look at the organization and what we wanted to go with the energy office going forward.
Kevin Patterson was an interim director at the time of the audit. He says the office has addressed all of those recommendations, including better management and a new budget. Audit Committee Chair Democratic Representative Angela Williams of Denver is glad they've turned things around.
They've done a great job at reorganizing and ensuring we're using our resources to the best extent.
Former Democratic Governor Bill Ritter created the Energy Office to bolster renewable energy, and it's long been controversial. Many Republicans saw it as unnecessary, and last year Governor Hickenlooper rankled environmentalists by expanding the mission to include promoting traditional energy alongside wind and solar. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The future of agriculture across the Great Plains hinges on water. Climate models and population growth paint a pretty bleak picture for water availability a few decades from now. If farmers want to stay in business, they have to figure out how to do more with less. Harvest Public Media Luke Runyon reports.
Rod Weimer opens the door to the control room of what he calls the Cadillac of irrigation systems. He's the farm manager for Fagerberg Produce in Weld County, Colorado, one of the largest producers of onions in the country.
It was about water savings and quality.
Crimson-colored cisterns line one wall of the building. A control panel glows on the other side. This sophisticated setup filters water pumped from both underground reservoirs and from canals that divert water from nearby rivers. It's then pushed out into the onion fields through underground plastic piping.
It's kind of like a big sprinkler system in your yard.
This system is a textbook example of drip irrigation, much more tech-savvy than old-school methods, which flood fields with water. Weimer can irrigate 900 acres of onions with the push of a button on his smartphone. The plastic piping is so precise, the farm uses 30% less water than it did before this system was installed. It cost about $4,000 an acre, and last year, it paid off.
And on dry years, you know, you may think you have a lot of water, but if you don't get water in the mountains, you're not going to get all your water. So that's what this is all about.
We're working on a corn sunflower rotation at the moment.
Tom Trout pilots a four-wheeler through row after row of bright yellow sunflowers. He's a USDA researcher with a mandate.
What we're trying to figure out is how to continue to get good yields with less water.
Not an easy task. Crops need water. When you cut back too much, they don't grow as well. But if you can find the sweet spot where plants are getting just as much water as they need at exactly the right times, all of a sudden you free up lots of extra water.
It's like getting our bodies used to eating less food, for example, and creating a new equilibrium for ourselves.
The stakes are high to figure this out. Trout says in the most arid regions of the plains, farmers are already overdrawing underground sources. Development is encroaching, and climate models show precipitation will become much more variable.
So all those things are kind of coming together for a perfect storm, and meaning we're going to have less water to work with in the future.
Farmers are probably better at conserving water than the average homeowner because it's a big economic issue to them.
That's Brian Werner, a spokesman for Northern Water, one of Colorado's largest water distribution systems. He says even when farmers switch to more efficient irrigation, it's not an easy task to figure out who gets the extras. Colorado's Byzantine water law can be difficult to navigate, and as long as farmers still have water now, there's little incentive to make a switch.
We're getting there, I think, the mindset. The paradigm is shifting, however, maybe so slowly, towards how we get to that point.
That shift is happening. Between 2003 and 2008, about 800,000 acres of U.S. farmland were equipped with more efficient systems. But these new systems won't likely be a panacea to the looming water shortages. A study of irrigated land in western Kansas found that when farmers change their irrigation systems, they switch crops to ones that require more water and bring in more money. That switch sometimes negates the entire water savings. Back at Fagerberg Produce in Weld County, farm manager Rod Weimer says he has no regrets about installing drip irrigation. He's using less water, and the quality of his onion crop only gets better.
If we want to survive, that's what we're going to have to do. It's not cheap, but in the long run, it's going to pay off.
And Weimer says surviving means doing more with less. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
And Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find other stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. And in a related story, Governor John Hickenlooper last week told attendees at the Colorado Water Congress Summer Conference that the state's water outlook is in bad shape. According to the Post, Hickenlooper told a crowd that the state is seeing what he calls a water crisis, saying that water shortages are being compounded by a population boom across the West. During the speech, Hickenlooper reminded the conference of his call for the State Water Conservation Board to come up with some plan of action, saying basins should each develop their own plans, taking into account their resources and needs. The Telluride Watch reports that the move to raise state income taxes to expand public school funding across Colorado, known as Initiative 22, was put on hold last week. According to the Watch, Colorado Secretary of State Scott Gessler announced his office would be requiring extensive reviews of signatures on petitions for the measure to make sure that the initiative qualifies for the November ballot. The Colorado Commits to Kids organization on August 5th delivered nearly 166,000 signatures supporting the measure to Gessler's office, twice as many needed as needed to get the initiative on the ballot. But according to the Watch, Gessler's office this week said a 5% random sample of those signatures found many of them to be invalid. In order to get the funding question on the ballot, supporters need a verification rate of 110% of the sampled portion, and that rate was only 107%. Under Initiative 22, the state's current income tax rate of 4.63% would be raised to a minimum of 5% for people making $75,000 or less, and would jump to 5.9% for people making more than that. The Watch reports that Gessler's office has until September 4th to complete its review of the signatures. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that businesses in Mesa County that are considering moving out of state can now qualify for tax incentives aimed at keeping them in Colorado. According to the Sentinel, Mesa County commissioners recently voted to let the county develop a business personal property tax rebate for businesses that are planning to leave the state. Those businesses would have to prove that they're already planning to move. The Grand Junction Area Chamber of Commerce and the city's economic partnership will reportedly help sort through applications for the tax rebate and will also judge which businesses are seriously considering a move. Businesses will have to state specific reasons why they're planning to move and show what other incentives states are offering to draw their businesses there. A cost-benefit analysis for keeping versus losing the businesses would then be submitted to the chamber and the economic partnership. According to the Sentinel, the tax incentive was approved last year in the county thanks to a bill passed by the state legislature. At the time, that bill only allowed tax rebates for businesses seeking to move to the county or those that were already there and wanted to expand. But an amendment to that bill from earlier this year added the option for the county to give rebates to those seeking to leave. The Sentinel reports that, for now, no businesses have inquired about the rebate. And that completes our newscast for today. I'm Marty Derlin. Thanks for listening.